Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. Privilege and a pleasure as always to come before you. Because you're likely experiencing this show in a digital format, we need to take that one enslaved mind at a time to 1 million enslaved mind at a time. The only way we can do that is if you share far and wide what you see and hear. Please do that here, please, because we need to mobilize America, and we need to mobilize against election fraud, which we're going to talk about today with Kim Hermance. We're going to need to mobilize against the abuse and the recolonization of Maui by the rich and powerful under the support of the WEF and all these globalist organizations. And we need to organize to take back our country and preserve the Constitution as the rule of law. Please do that. All right. Please share. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. And the story on the banks keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I'm getting reports every day. Dave, can't get as much money out of the bank with Wells Fargo or Bank of America that I'd like. And these stories are commonplace. And I'm saying the warning signs are here about the bank. We've already seen Weiss Research say 4,200 banks are in trouble. If that's only 10% accurate, that's 420 that'll break the system. It only takes about 5 more banks to break the system. We're in trouble. And they'll keep your money. Dodd-Frank 2010, they'll keep your money to soften their blow. Is your retirement connected to a bank, IRA, 401k? Well, Noble Gold can get that retirement away from that bank that'll keep your money in crisis and give it to you. You own it, and they'll back it with gold, which has held its value for 6,000 years. Keep in mind, the Federal Reserve, chief of all banks, has debased our currency. We've taken 85% of the value out of the dollar since the 1980s. That's an easy choice to make. Additionally, your bank account's at risk. Noble Gold has answers there too. I want to send you a free information packet, and I want to show you how Noble Gold can help you. There's no obligation. No one's going to pester you, but they'll have the number on there. So first go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and make sure that you call the number that's on there, 877-646-5347, with any questions to get started. Now, when CBDC comes in, and it's coming, game over. You're going to lose all these options. So right now, if you want to get outside the system to prepare to preserve what you already have earned, this is your opportunity. DaveHodgesGold.com. Now, the FTC makes me give you a warning. They say that any investment can be an inherent risk, and there's no guarantees. Well, we agree with that, but keeping your money in the bank, in stock, everything in there, that's a bigger risk than anything I think you could do. Also, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to reemphasize, DaveHodgesGold.com. Do it now. Do not wait. Move while you still have the opportunity. Okay, now our guest today on the show is going to be a lady named Kim Hermance, and she, no nonsense person, she is one of the most professional, articulate critics of the corrupt election system that the Democrats took over during COVID, and this is why COVID-19 was brought in, there's no question. We don't get into conspiracies in this particular interview. We're only going to deal with data. Data, 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 data. And I got to tell you, you're going to come away impressed. You go, oh my gosh, there's actually people working for the Americans, even if it's not in the government. Hopefully you can join her. Her organization is accepting help. And you're going to really enjoy this interview because it's going to hit to the heart of what we know to already be true. By the way, Kim is from New York. In New York and California and Illinois, they're the epicenters of voter fraud. Arizona, too, where I live. And you're going to hear a lot of important stuff that you need to pay close attention to. Okay, so here we go. Kim Hermance, thank you for joining us today on the show. And she's going to call for a little bit of support. And I would encourage you to give generously to her cause because she's fighting for your freedom. Absolutely, without question, this is the issue. Hey, thank you. We really appreciate you coming here, that you care enough about America to make a difference. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here. Thanks for staying with us through that intro if you're joining us from a different venue. And thank you very much here. We have him, romance, as in romance. I love that connection she made when I was learning to pronounce her last name. She is the leader of the director of New York Citizens Audit. And, you know, we stand in the gap against election fraud, and we were among the first. And some of you may remember when I wrote that first article about Arizona, 13 of my colleagues were notified within 2 hours of publication that Dave Hodges is going to get you killed if you keep promoting his work. So we all know how dirty they are. And Kim is here to talk to us about what her organization is doing about the massive fraud that's in New York. And I do believe there is massive fraud in New York. For the life of me, I thought Hochul might actually lose. I guess I was being naive, Kim. But anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be on your show with somebody who believes in election honesty and transparency.
Yeah, it's kind of like I feel like I'm pawning over a lost love from decades ago when we talk about election integrity. Yeah, we do need to get back to it. Do you take any political sides? And I got to tell you my bias, and I certainly don't expect you to share this, but I'm on an anti-incumbent theme right now where I think about 95% of the GOP needs to be defeated in the primary because they have forsaken a lot of their values, and most of them are being led to the uniparty side. I don't know if you look at that or not.
Well, obviously, as a citizen, I look at politics. I'm actually a political science major from way back.
Okay.
But New York Citizens Audit is nonpartisan. We are a 501c3 organization.
Got it.
We just want sovereignty through honest, provable elections. And in my opinion, it's not a red or blue issue. It's a red, white, and blue issue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I'm calling for cleaning the slate. That's just my own personal bias, because I just think there's a lot Congress could be doing to help Trump, defunding these rogue organizations that are out of control and do facilitate voter fraud by their practices, particularly in the DOJ. But anyway, with regard to New York, I'd like to start with the governor's race that occurred recently. I was surprised at the margin of victory, but I'm not surprised. Did you find improprieties in that race, as many suspect?
Well, we actually just came out with our 2022 report, which we are calling New York's 2022 General Election and the Reign of Error, Apathy, Incompetence, or Malfeasance, with a question mark at the end there. One of the major things we found is 35,000 more votes than voters that voted in that race. So we definitely found some major inconsistencies and issues in the race.
So this was statewide, Kim, that you're saying you had 35,000 more voters, people voted than there were registered voters.
No, 35,000 more voters than votes. Of the people that, sorry, I said that backwards, 35,000 more votes than voters that voted, right? So think of that as ballots and, you know, the people that actually went to the polls and, you know, filled out their ballot or mailed it in. So we have a huge discrepancy. And obviously, if there were $35,000 difference in your bank account, you would ask for an audit. You'd want answers to your questions. And that's basically what New York Citizens Audit is asking for. We want a end-to-end audit of the 2022 general election. And basically, 2022 was run on inaccuracies from the 2020 election. We notified of election officials back in the spring of 2022 of those issues. They still continue to go ahead and ran the election, and you know, the problems weren't solved. So now we have two federal general elections with issues in them where you really can't tell who won. And that's it. We can't tell who won. So from 2020, one of the statistics that I really, you know, that really strikes home to me is that there are 95 federal and state races where we can't tell who won because of the number of discrepancies is greater than the margin of victory in those races. So basically, that's it. You can't tell who won because there's so many invalid and illegal registrations. So they're basically not following the law. So the one of the ways I explain it is we are a nation of laws, correct? We have the Constitution, which is the highest law of the land. There is election law or federal law at the federal level. And we also have the state level laws. And those laws are supposed to guard our election. Mm-hmm. The election officials are supposed to follow those laws. And that's what prevents issues such as fraud any problems from developing. And that's like the guidelines and if they don't follow those guidelines, then we have problems. And, our national identity is dependent on those elections. I mean, it's our national critical infrastructure, federal, especially with federal elections, right? Because we elect the president, we elect Congress from that. So New York Citizens Audit basically started in July of 2021. It was a group of citizens on a chat room online who just kind of wondered what happened in New York. New York's supposed to be a deep blue state. So we organized and we did a Freedom of Information of Law request. And we looked at what's called NICE Voter, which is the state voter rolls, and compared those results in NICE Voter with county voter rolls and a spreadsheet we downloaded from the Secretary of State official website, and not one of the figures matched. There were major discrepancies. In 2020, the discrepancy was just under 340,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. So two federal elections now with overages and discrepancies that can't be reconciled.
Well, Kim, let me ask you a question. Obviously, you would be thinking not just about problem identification, but solutions to that problem. What's a fair remediation or a legal remediation that should have taken place?
It should never have been certified. So the obligation of the Board of Elections is to determine if a election is accurate and valid. If there are discrepancies such as that, they're supposed to investigate and determine where those issues are. After they investigate, once you resolve all those discrepancies, then you can certify. But these elections were both certified with numbers that make no sense. Where they just don't follow the law. We can think of the legal standard for approvable election based on four tenets of the law. So the first is voter rolls must be accurate, votes counted must be from qualified electors, and the number of votes must equal the number of voters. And also in federal law, the maximum allowable error rate in a valid trusted election is 1 in 125,000 ballots. So that was
is that a New York provision for the 1 in 125,000?
No, that's a federal law.
Federal
that's
law.
Federal law. Yep, exactly. You can find that in the federal voting system standards. So, for example, let me go to 2022. The New York State allowable error rate would be 48 ballots. But what we found was 745,246.
Oh, my.
In 2020, the New York State allowable error rate would be 70. And what we found in 2020 was 960,476. So almost a million voting violations. It's inexplicable.
What do those violations mostly center on, say, the top two or three areas?
For example, in 2022, the big one is we have 1.5 million purge records with no purge date. So you're not even supposed to be able to vote if you're purged. Without a purge date, how can you even tell when they were purged, that kind of thing. I mean, so these are just basic, laws, election laws that aren't being followed in our voter rolls. And it's, it's a simple thing. It's just simple queries. You know, you run the data using queries, you know, and with computer science today, we can process massive amounts of data. And, you know, we find these discrepancies. Another one that we found that's quite interesting is we have 1.4 million counterfeit registrations. So counterfeit registrations are registrations made using pre-existing registrations as the source, but they assign a new record, a unique statewide voting serial number. And this creates the opportunity for multiple votes to be cast by the same identity. In some cases, the original registration is real and verifiable by direct canvas. And in other cases, the original is unverifiable by direct canvas or other means, and we believe the voter is fictitious. So of those 1.4 million counterfeit registrations, 449,000 voted, and just over 2,400 cast double votes. And we had a total of 750,000 invalid and illegal registrations in 2022. So those are just, you know, some of the figures that we found. You can go to our website, auditny.com, and see all of our reports and our resolution, which is the what we've been asking for across New York State in our towns and legislature. So what I do for New York Citizens Audit is I am involved with the volunteer effort. So along with a co-volunteer of mine, we've created strike teams, what we call county strike teams across New York State in each county. And our volunteers take our resolution to town boards and ask for a audit of the 2022 election. And they give some of the figures from 2020 and now 22. And ask for that audit try to get that resolution passed at the grassroots level to put pressure on the legislature in New York. Because, of course, the legislature in New York is they've got a supermajority of Democrats there. So it's quite a challenge.
Yeah. And that's where the conundrum is. Is this all data derived that you're doing, or do you have to do any canvassing of the public?
So it is all data driven. We have an excellent research team, but we did do canvassing to support the results that research had found. So we go out and knocked on doors. The difference in New York, I think, than a lot of other campuses that got done across the United States is we only targeted those counterfeit registrations. So we knocked on those doors and asked the people, is this your vote? Is this your name? You know, which one is you? Because, of course, they're counterfeit. So often there's more than one. And we asked them which one is their voting record and is it accurate? And so we did do, you know, we have been doing canvassing across New York State to, support and prove that the information we're finding from the research team is correct.
What kind of resistance are you getting from authorities with the canvassing efforts?
That's kind of interesting, because just today we got an email about that, where there was some claim that some of our canvassers were trying to pretend that they were Board of Election officials, which is very far from the truth. I mean, go knock on doors and basically say, you know, we're citizens, we're grassroots, we're volunteers, we're just checking the voter rolls. And we actually tell people if they want to correct their record to call the Board of Elections. They also sent a letter out to all of the Board of Elections in all 62 counties in New York State, trying to discredit the work that New York Citizens Audit is doing. And the interesting thing about that is we're using their data. You know, it's their data that we're just looking at. We're just counting. It's simple math. I mean, granted, it's in the millions, but it's still just addition and counting and comparing, you know, what the law says to what we find in the voter rolls. And there's massive discrepancies.
Well, also, I'm hearing a little defamation going on there. Let me just share with you real quickly in Arizona, just so, you know, I feel like I need to deliver a warning, and I hope it doesn't come to be for you. I have a source inside the AG's office, someone I've known for 25 years, and Liz Harris who was she and I have spoken at tea parties together and stuff, and she's been on my show a lot. So I know Liz fairly well. And Liz was really the other source besides me that really dug into these corrupt elections. And it cost her her seat after she won an election. And Liz is now facing, although it's not become public, she has a source inside the AG's office. I have a source inside the state AG's office. They want to go after her for voter harassment and intimidation because of canvassing. And because she went to the homes of some Black people, they want to get her on violation of the voter rights as it relates to KKK statutes. So are you getting any noise like that, that they're preparing to move against you? And I think they're going to wait until we run up against the general election. I think that's when they're going to try to go after Liz. Have you encountered any such thing?
Not along those lines at all. I mean, for the most part, the Board of Elections refuses to meet with us, talk with us. What we did do, interestingly, just this past, let's see, it would have been the week of August 14th, we delivered a 500 gigabyte thumb drive to the Board of Elections with all of the suspicious activity that we found in our open source audit. We were demanding, or we are demanding, a line-by-line reconciliation response in 10 days. And what we're going to do is, if we don't get a response, we will deliver that same suspicious activity report to the Department of Justice and the FBI. So that was delivered to the Board of Elections. So they have line-by-line information of all the suspicious activity that we found. And the reality is we don't want to be confrontational with the Board of Election officials. You know, we want our voter rolls to be accurate. It's simple as that. I mean, that's what federal law says. So, for example, the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, the purpose of it is to ensure that accurate and current voter registration rolls are maintained. Mm-hmm. It's federal law. And they're not following it. And that's really the simple thing. We understand that many of the laws that were enacted, like, for example, what's commonly known as voter, you know, that allows whenever you go to, say, the motor vehicle department, a registration is created. And it's supposed to be that you opt in. That's what federal law says. But what's happening in New York is you actually have to opt out. You have to check the box that you don't want a registration record created. So that just creates, you know, oodles and oodles of registrations that the local Board of Elections have to try to sift through. And I grant that that probably is challenging, but they have to do it right because they have to follow the law and they have to be accurate. And it has to be done that way because that's the only way we get accurate and provable elections.
Yeah, I like how you're going about this. Very systematic within the rules. I don't want to be sarcastic, but good luck with the DOJ and FBI if you're forced to file a report, given the characters we have there. They have actually persecuted people in your position, kicking in doors and stuff. And I mean, we've interviewed those people. The one thing I just wonder about here, I'll tell you what entered my mind. And I know your funds are limited. Everyone's funds are limited when it's grassroots. But they've committed defamation from what you're telling me. And they're legally responsible for not fulfilling their fiduciary responsibility to have clean voter rolls. And I just wondered if you considered legal action because discovery could be really interesting and revealing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We're considering legal action and we're taking those steps. Obviously you would approach the Board of Elections first, try to resolve your issues. Then of course we're doing the suspicious activity report, but we absolutely are considering a legal action on behalf of the voters and citizens of New York State. As you said, the big challenge, of course, is finances. So I'm going to put a plug in here, auditnewyork.com. Please go donate and support our legal efforts because we are, actually hopefully this fall rolling out a big push to get funding for a lawsuit. And the other issue, of course, is always trying to find a brave attorney to take on the case because many of the attorneys are, you know, they are in danger of losing their law licenses with the bar, you know, if they do take on these cases. So you need some brave attorneys as well, which we have in America, but we need a few more.
One name comes to mind, and he went after the vaccine issue with the frontline doctors. He was their attorney of record to begin, Tom Renz.
But yeah, I've talked to him personally. Okay. He's very devoted and interesting gentleman. He seems to have the weight of the world on his shoulders with those vaccine injured clients that he's representing.
But he's taken a look at voter fraud now too. He's branched into other areas, and he's got a show on Brighteon under Mike Adams. So he's gone public now. He is not licensed in New York, but he could find someone that is. I think you're going to have to find a lawyer that's licensed in New York but practices in another state primarily. And if they lost their law license in New York, it wouldn't be catastrophic to them. Hey, listen, I fought a property rights battle from 2004 to 2012 where the state was trying to force me and my rural community of 300 families off our land without any compensation. And they took a long haul approach by denying property rights. And we had four lawyers that initially took our case and quit because John McCain was the primary driving force to get us off our land. And they wanted to be judges one day, and they were afraid he was going to be president. So we lost four legal representations by in-state. And what we found is you really need to go to where it's multi-state.
Mm.
That's really, you're really wasting your time if you find a New York lawyer, unless they're close to retirement and they look at this as a noble cause and, you know, they really have nothing to lose. But yeah, that's, finding a competent lawyer is good. And you got to be leery of this too. We found this too. You'll find a shyster lawyer who really plays for the other side and pretends to be your ally and will sabotage your case. You got to be worried about that too. That's another thing.
Yeah. That's very true. But I think as citizens, we've educated ourselves on the law. So by being knowledgeable and not depending on somebody else to do the work for us, we've done it ourselves. Our executive director, Marley Hornick, has just literally become probably more knowledgeable than most election officials about the law, and all of us at New York Citizens Audit are along those way, well along on that path ourselves. We have over 2,000 volunteers across the state, which is pretty exciting, and they're super motivated. They go out to, like I was mentioning before, the town boards and bring this resolution for an audit, and we've delivered this resolution to probably over 200 town boards across New York State. So we are definitely turning up the heat, if you will, in New York State, and trying to pressure our legislature. And we actually, back in January, we had a day where a group of us went to the legislature and met with Democrats and brought our summary of the 2020 general election, which was called A Study in Deficits. And we brought that data to them. We also had on May 1st, we're able to have a presentation before the election law committee of both the assembly and the Senate. So we were able to give a presentation there. Of course, the budget process was ongoing, so that was a little bit of a challenge trying to give that presentation. But if people are interested, you can go to our website, auditny.com, and you can see that presentation as well. We have a super gifted research lead. He goes by Art Zark, but his real name is Dr. Andrew Paquette. And he did some amazing research on the voter rolls and discovered the illegal manipulation of the New York State voter roll database. So a massive and deliberate crime. It's steganography within the voter rolls, so algorithms that he found, and he got his research published recently in May in the Journal of Information Warfare, which is a peer-reviewed journal. So that was a big thing for us, basically.
Can I stop you for a second? What did he find that was manipulative that our audience could identify with? You got to stay in layman's terms now.
So basically steganography is like pictures that are hidden. So it works as if, how can I explain this? If people are familiar with, from World War II, the device that, was used in World War II, to encrypt, messages, and the British and Americans decrypted it. It's sort of kind of that kind of a thing. It's hidden, right? So it's hidden within the voter rolls under 8 layers of obfuscation. It is complicated. So for me to try to explain it here would be challenging. But if anybody's really interested in it, again, our website, auditny.com, under data, there's also voter education. There's videos that explain it. That'd be where I would refer people who want more information. But basically what you need to know is that it shouldn't be there. It absolutely shouldn't be there. And his findings show an emergency breach of our national security infrastructure. And that's, you know, by cybersecurity experts. So basically, it's a big problem in New York. We took that information to the New York State Police back in May of last year as well. And that information was given to the FBI. And none of us at New York Citizens Audit has received a call back from the FBI on that.
You won't. When you talk about this hidden item that's buried under 8 layers, I'm looking for an outcome statement. We don't have to walk through the process because it's probably too complicated to do in a short interview like this. But what I'm worried about here is, what's the outcome of this? Does this allow people to vote multiple times under fake names? What's the outcome?
I believe it's tagging records so that you can find some of these illegal registrations, right? So if you're trying to manipulate the elections, you have to, you know, how do you figure out which ones you've inserted in, you know, 21 million records that are part of Nice Voter? So it's kind of like an illegal tagging system or a tagging system, so you can find them later. Or that's what I believe, you know.
Yeah,
let
me see if I understand this. Let's say you find 100,000 illegal registrations. Okay, and this system is facilitating this. Does that mean it could show up as 100,000 inserted votes artificially within the system?
Not quite. It's kind of an interesting story how he found it. So when you get on the New York State voter rolls, they give it to you on a disk. And he immediately took his disk and started, you know, manipulating the data. There was a lightning storm and he lost everything. So he had to reload it. So he did the same thing again, went through it. And about a week later, there was another lightning strike. And I'll call it kind of an act of God. And it was at that point he found patterns. And so there are patterns in the voter rolls that you can see. You know, so like it's based on, how can I explain it? It you know, like every 10th entry or every 10th line is you know, a registration, and then that's how they're using it to tag the you know, registrations that you know, may be illegal. So I would really advise people to go to auditny.com because it's very complicated, not easily understood.
I think you explained it.
I'm sorry.
It allows people who shouldn't be voting to vote. That's one thing I think it does, from what you're saying.
It's possible, right? Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I don't think we've totally figured that out, and we certainly don't know who put it there. So there's a lot of questions to be answered. But like I said, it definitely shouldn't be there.
Yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. This makes a lot of sense to me because the work that the former law enforcement source I told you about that can really break down the voting machine irregularities and violate statistics and probabilities, I'm sure he knows about this because he also talks about how fake votes are implanted in the system that shouldn't be there. And I think you may have hit onto something here. And the other thing that I've been told, and I'd be interested in speaking to this expert, is when you find a violation like this, it branches off into other truncated areas that affect voting too. So you may have just hit the first cause of how they manipulate the vote electronically. But I suspect from what I've been told by my source, this could go three or four levels deep in other ways to attack it. And this is just the gateway. So I don't know if he said anything to you like that or not, but I'm pretty sure of what I'm telling you.
Well, there's an interesting relationship between it and our January 1st registration votes, which is, for example, in 2022, we found 988,000 January 1st registration dates, which the Board of Elections isn't open on January 1st. And yeah, right, exactly. So it doesn't make much sense. And there is that connection with those January 1st registration votes.
Yeah, that's it. So that's what I'm talking about. That's one example of what I'm talking about. Boy, you have hit the mother lode here with this. I'm telling you, this is actionable in court. The problem is you got to find the right judge. And his name can't be Alvin Bragg.
Exactly. Well, and it's a challenge in New York, no matter what we do. It's when you've got the supermajority in the New York State Legislature and you've got Kathy Hochul and the Letitia James, the Attorney General in New York State, it's a challenge here. And, we follow the law ourselves and we expect our elected officials to follow the law. And to me, that's the narrative that has to get changed, that it's not okay to have shenanigans. And what we found is way more than just shenanigans. It's I got involved, I think I mentioned I was a political science major back in college, but basically I raised my family, went through life, and it was COVID that basically it made no sense to me. All of our freedoms got thrown out the window. My husband and I volunteered at a local food bank, and people were struggling to put food on the table. So that whole bit, and then the election on November 3rd, 2020, where I literally saw the rule of law get thrown out the window, waited for Congress, our state legislators, the judicial system, somebody to take a look at all of this. And of course, as we all know, thing got thrown out of court, or a lot of things got thrown out of court on the standing issue. Nothing seemed to happen. And, I just basically said, if no one else is going to do it, I've got to do it, and joined, the efforts in actually Pennsylvania and Arizona. Made phone calls, sent emails, and then in July of 2021, like I mentioned, got together with New York citizens to take a look. And since then, I've been highly involved in election and efforts in New York State. So it's just inexplicable, absolutely unbelievable to me what I found. And definitely my eyes are wide open, if you will.
What's your feeling about percentage of population? And let me ask you a question this way. You're facing an overwhelming majority. You said the legislature is a supermajority. So, let's put it this way. New York judges are filled with Democrats that have agendas and make judge-made law. That's no secret. That's ubiquitous. So changing it within the system seems like it could be difficult. But I'm wondering, have you arrived at any kind of an estimate about what percentage of New Yorkers are having their rights violated because their will's not being enforced? Like in Arizona, I can tell you right now, in the 2020 election, we feel that about 60% of the vote went to Donald Trump. It might have been as high as 70. And in the 2022 election, they just disenfranchised major blocks of Republican voters. 60% of the voting machines failed in heavy Republican districts in Maricopa County. We estimate 300,000 votes were affected. And nothing ever happens in court. We keep getting corrupt judges that throw things out that shouldn't be thrown out. I'm sure you're facing the same thing. You said you get a case thrown out on standing. Every voter has standing in election. I don't know how they make that ruling. So when I look at that, when you look at the odds that are overwhelming politically, where do you think the public falls in this?
Well, there's no question that votes, our voters in New York State and actually across the nation, their votes are being diluted, right? So if New York State elections aren't accurate and provable, that affects every other voter in every other state. I don't know any percentages. That's not something that I don't believe we've looked at. But it is definitely a federal crime, a civil rights violation that, you know, is none of these elections, the 2020, the 2022, should have been certified. And we are looking at it not necessarily as an issue to, you know, that somebody didn't get elected or should have been elected. Again, we're nonpartisan. We can't tell who won. You know, that statistic I gave in the beginning that there's, you know, 95 races in 2020 where you can't tell who won. And those, you know, the people that are in office when you can't tell who won, they can't prove they won, are making laws and making decisions that affect everyday Americans. So absolutely, our civil rights are being violated.
Yeah, but in Arizona, they were so blatant and sloppy about it. We're able to fix some numbers on this and be within the laws of probability. I used to teach stat and research, you know, at a university. So this is something, you know, when I see probabilities that are out of whack, you know, then that's where you start your investigation. But the one thing that we found here was we really believe 300,000 voters were disenfranchised. What they did is they would go to a vote. This happened actually to a relative of mine. She went to vote. Sorry, the machines aren't working. Go to a second place. And she was able to do that. But she said people dropped out of line after waiting 3 hours. Yeah. They were elderly. They were in wheelchairs. That's disenfranchisement. And there was a former state senator who was a county board of supervisors chair in Mojave County. And he was refusing to certify the election for the county. And the person running for governor on the Democratic side, Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State, ruling in her own election. I mean, I'm saying it again, ruling in her own election. She told Ron, if you don't certify, I will send you to prison. And this was her election. She was ordering the certification. I don't think you've seen that in New York, but it's coming. There's one more thing I want to present to you, because maybe we can build a bridge to California. Paul Preston is the head of the New California Movement, and they're making progress towards becoming a 51st state. But what's not being publicized very much is what he's doing. He's responsible for initiating an affidavit process with friendly sheriffs in counties that are largely, let's say, sane and don't like corruption. And they're forcing the resignations of several top officials who have engaged in voter impropriety. And I don't know if you've thought about initiating this, if you even know about it, but if you don't, I can facilitate an introduction to Paul Preston and he'll give you the A to Z on how to do it. Because it's just another way to bring pressure on illegal vote manipulation.
Well, obviously, we would love the introduction, that's for sure. Sure. I have heard of him. I am aware of, you know, the efforts in California. Interestingly enough, and this is anecdotal, of course, you know, on election day, you know, this past November 2022, I was getting texts from people who knew I was involved in elections from where I live, which is in Western New York, of a lot of the same issues that Arizona experienced of, you know, machines being down and things like that. And we have, we do take citizen reports on our website, auditny.com, so you can fill out a citizen report. And then we do, you know, we have collected affidavits from that as well. The biggest problem we have is the volume of that. You know, there have enough to actually, you know, and you can see some trends to it, but, you know, you need more than just, you know, a few. And like everybody, we have trouble getting the word out, right? You know, mainstream media doesn't want to advertise us too much. So,
Yeah, that's an understatement. That really is. You won't believe the abuse I've taken for doing this. But in terms of looking across the country, Paul Preston in California is involved in doing what you're doing, but doing it in a different way. In Arizona, we have some groups that are now forming and rising up. How many states do you know of that are doing things like what you're doing?
Oh, there's groups in every single state. Every 50 states have groups of, various sizes. States have more than one. So there's, I've been, having been involved in this election effort since 2020, I guess. Yeah, I'm very familiar with many of the other leaders in other states. And that's what gives me hope, is that idea that there are citizens, even if mainstream media isn't promoting it, there are citizens actively working in every single state at a grassroots level to affect change in their state. And just like New York, it is doing it as well. So that
Wow.
gives me hope. Yeah.
What about allies inside the legislature in the super minority?
Yeah. So in other words, how what's the impact that we're having with the GOP, if you will? I personally have presented to several leaders. Our efforts to get legislation to have an audit of 2022. There are, we have allies, that are, trying to help us. But it's a challenging environment in New York State. I think the GOP federally, right, came out with that whole listing of, what the GOP stands for in terms of elections, which was super hopeful as well recently. So that's kind of it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in New York State. But overall, it's been a challenge, even with the GOP. Yeah, they don't want to talk to us. It's a challenge.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, the one thing we discovered here in Arizona was this. The election of 2022 was primarily stolen by GOP uniparty members. Bill Gates, Steven Reischer, County Clerk and Recorder, Maricopa County Board of Supervisor in the case of Gates. And they're the ones that set up the voting machines to do what they did. They're responsible. And they wouldn't redo the election despite overwhelming. You didn't have to even prove a conspiracy. You just showed the election didn't work for a lot of people. But so the Republicans are just as culpable here. Are you finding uniparty infiltration in New York that's compromising GOP efforts towards getting fair elections?
Like I said, it's a challenge. For example, some of there's a county near me where a group of Americans who just want what's best for America, America First, I'll call it, were trying to get even in on their in their as a committee person, and the resistance from the party itself, just to have some new committee people was incredible. So
Yeah.
it's a slog fest.
Okay.
It's like World War One in a way. How like you're in the trenches in World War One, the Maginot Line, right, where no one got anywhere. I sort of feel like that sometimes working with a lot of our volunteers at the grassroots level. They're just trying inch by inch to fight their way forward, if you will.
How much have you asked? I know the answer in Arizona. But have you estimated how much one side can cheat in an election given the system that exists now? Is it 6%, 10%, 20%? Do you have an estimate on that?
No, I don't have that kind of a number. Again, we focused very much on the data,
Yeah, there you go.
number, right? We definitely we looked at the voter rolls, we looked at the numbers, we looked at the law, and we really focused our attention on that, because that's the thing I think that ordinary citizens can understand. I have to follow the law as a citizen, and so do our Board of Election officials and our leadership.
Yeah.
And that's where we focus, because I think that makes the most sense with citizens. They can understand that. And when they see these, great numbers, the great quantity of numbers where simple things aren't followed, even in terms of, having an address in a record, where that isn't even showing. Well, how do you know they even live in New York State or in your county? So that's the kinds of things that I think really connect with citizens, and that's what we focused on.
But let me tell you've given me enough information just in this short interview that, and I can't cite you the numbers you gave me. I'd have to go back and listen to the interview. But you have a sound basis to make a statistical statement that would say the probabilities of our research indicate that as many as this many votes could be affected. You gave me real data, and each one of those data improprieties or data irregularities or illegalities is a potential stolen vote. And I think it's a fair statement to use that and say, potentially, this is what we could be looking at as a ceiling level effect. I mean, you've got really good information. I mean, your information is as good. That first 10 minutes of the interview, that information was as good as anything I've ever heard. And you've got a lot, I think, you can do with that data to where the average person says, oh, that many votes it could be stolen. Well, we're not saying it happened that level, but this is the potential, and they refuse to clean up the system. See, that's something I'd relate to as a voter. I think you've got a gold mine here, and I know of no one across the country that has the data you have, maybe except for Paul Preston.
I just touched on the data. I mean, it's because, you know, the numbers
phenomenal
to get swimming. But, you know, just to give you another interesting one from 2022, there are 712,000 purge records that were never active. So they were created purge. How does that happen? It makes no sense. Yes, exactly. So those kinds of, you know, that kind of data, you know, just I guess I can flip some pages and find some of the information for I was just going to look for registrations. Let's see. Here's one that is kind of interesting. 143,000 registered after the last voted date. 201,000 where the voter identity is unverified, age discrepant registrants, which is means they're older than 150 years of age, which is the oldest known person in the United States, 20,000, right? Yeah. I mentioned the blank address registrants before. That number in 2022 is 48,000.
Okay.
Right. So, and of course, 2020, because it was a presidential race, the numbers are even greater than those. So we've got now two federal election cycles with some excellent data. And we have a great team. I mean, they really are. The team is just miraculous. The devotion and the desire for excellence is how I would just explain our team. I mean, everybody really goes the extra mile to make sure that the data we're putting out there is accurate. And like, so even our research, I mean, nothing gets put out there unless it's triple reviewed. So three people look at it, they have to agree. And then that's what, you know, the numbers get out there.
So you do your own peer review before you even.
We are doing our own peer review. Yes, wow. Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Well,
it's that
listen,
important to be right.
You've got as good of information. You could add all those numbers up you just cited to me and say, potentially this is how many votes were improperly cast. And then I could say, and for example, I'll give you an example. Let's say 300,000 votes were affected in Maricopa County. Let's just say only 10% of those, this is a valid criticism, Carrie Lake wins the election going away. I mean, that's the kind of, to me, those are the kind of things that catch my attention. This is amazing stuff. I got more out of this interview than I think I've gotten out of any other I've done, including in my own state. You know, you need some financial support because I think the lawsuit will be important for the reasons we said. So tell people how they can contribute because we got about a minute left.
Well, you go to auditny.com, click on the donate button and contribute there. We are, you know, we're all volunteer. There's no one that gets paid in our organization. People are donating thousands of hours. And then we always can use help. So volunteer as well. That's auditny.com, volunteer. And of course, all of our reports are on there. We have videos explaining a lot of what we found, including this demographic algorithms that we were talking about. There's all of our interviews that, you know, our executive director has done some amazing interviews. You know, so that would be where I would direct people to go as well. But auditny.com, donate to help us out.
Yeah, we'll be happy to promote that for you because without elections, we are the Soviet Union of the 1970s and 80s. Kim, this has been terrific. Ladies and gentlemen, please, please give what you can. $5, whatever you can give. This is the beginning of turning things around. And I'd say New York and California are the two worst states. So she's in the heart of the fight. Kim, thanks so much for being with us. And as we approach election time, we're going to have you back to find out what the update is. And if you go lawsuit route, we want to hear about that too. And if you could facilitate any introduction to me to people who could talk about the Hawaiian election, because I got some data, but I want to talk to people who are involved in this, because the people of Lahaina are getting screwed and we need to find a way to help them turn around politically too.
That situation is so sad. And absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's elections have consequences, and that's, you know, the perfect example of how a government is not, you know, serving the people. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, it's great having you on, and look forward to having further communication with you, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Our pleasure. Take care.